Is that better now? Perfect. So 2 Corinthians 5 on 1162. But before we do that, it's always exciting when you're preparing to speak, when God says something and you think this is what you need to share and what you've come from, the material that you've been looking at, and you come to church on Sunday morning, just in little ways, things that we've already heard, things that we've already seen this morning, just confirm to you that this is what we need to be talking about. So it's great to be able to do that. So shall we pray before we look at this together? So Father God, thank you that you've already been speaking to us this morning. Through the worship, through the things we've heard, through what Mark said to us already. And just pray now that as we come to look at your word together, you'll speak again to each one of us. Show each one of us what you have to say to us today. By your spirit we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, Tim started us off this series on Christian life and today's world. And I think Tim helped us to begin to think about what our faith means in today's culture, how we can be better equipped to live our faith in today's world. And this morning we're thinking clearly about two questions up there behind me. Who am I and what am I? Who am I and what am I? It's all about our identity. As Tim says, in the culture out there, there's an ideal of celebrity, the message of culture about who we are and what we should be. And I want to think about those two questions, who am I and what am I this morning, and unpack that a little bit more. I wonder what does culture or the world have to say? What messages do we tend to hear in the culture and society around us? Well, some of them can be quite positive, some of them can be quite negative. For example, some people might say, well, you're a human. Or some people might say, well, actually, do you know what? You're really great. You're fantastic. Some, and this is where we come to the idol of celebrity, you're the center of the universe. Or you're famous. Or you're a celebrity. So there's the positive ones. But there are also the least positive ones, aren't there? Well, actually, do you know what? Sometimes you don't really matter. You're not so important. Sometimes you're nothing but just a few selves put together. Lots of mixed messages that we hear in the culture and society around us. And I think those many different labels around us describes what it means to be a human and makes our identity. They're not always all that positive. And all this bombardment of information can at times make it difficult to work out exactly who am I or what am I? I mean, I wonder now if I was to ask you the question, describe who you were, what labels you might use, what some of the things are you might talk about. I'm sure in some talking about it, some of you might talk about whether you're a father or a mother or a grandmother or a grandfather, aunt, uncle, brother, sister. You could use some of those. Or you might talk about your nationality. You might say you're a human being. But are you a human being that's got a purpose or not a purpose? You might say you're a Christian or some other religion. You might say you're a believer or a non-believer. Or you might just simply say, well, I'm just little old me. See, the cultural world around us gives us enough information, all these labels, all these different definitions, at times for us to try and create a bit of a reality for ourselves. But if we try and strip all that away, try and get an understanding of who we really are, then probably we come to the closer reality of who or what we really are. See, why I think all this confusion is because the world now moves at such a faster pace. And I think the pace of the world adds to this confusion of who we are. People go through more job changes, house moves. And I think as a result of that, moving house and all this sort of thing results in the change of social circles. We don't know who our neighbours were like sometimes we used to do. That's different from about 50 years ago when people used to stay in one community for a very long time, and relationships were so much better. And alongside that, we're bombarded by all the other information, aren't we, with adverts and information from TV adverts to posters on food wrappers, buses, train stations, phones, and the internet. It's interesting, I read this week that apparently in the 1970, they reckon that we were bombarded by about 500 adverts a day. Well, in the last 10 years, they reckon that's gone up to almost 5,000 adverts a day. Do you know that would mean seeing one almost every 11 seconds? Meaning that although we might catch sight of them, we don't take every single one of them in. And what do those adverts say? Well, it says who we are is determined by the car that we drive, the clothes that we wear, the designer or brands we buy. And that whole definition of who we are can shift depending on where we're living and who's in our friendship circle at the time. And I think that whole fast pace of life, all these messages we're bombarded with, simply means we don't have the time to stop and reflect upon who or what we are. For many people, that's just not a possibility. But even those people who do find the time, it doesn't always work for them. Some people in midlife, don't they, stop and have a crisis as they work out what's going on, leading perhaps to a change of career or other things in life. And I think there's a search for who we are that's going on inside, deep down, in all of us. But it's many deeper, it's deep under the surface, and it's occasionally only brought up to the top. I think some people can spend their life not knowing who they are or what they're meant to be, just due to life being so chaotic. And so what do? They just swim through the water, adjusting and changing to fit in with the culture around them as the culture and society changes. I think others, not knowing what life is about, for some it can cause anxiety, a sense of worry or panic. And there are some people who think, well, actually, do you know what? This diversity, this lots of different things, being different things to different people, that's something to be celebrated. It's great that we can be one person over here and one person over there and someone else to somebody else. But is there a danger to that? I think being different things to different people, often people don't really get to know the real you, who you really are. People don't find the real depth in you because you're constantly changing, leading to some question marks over to actually what's that person's integrity all about, because we don't really know who the real them is. And I think in this postmodern world in which we live, people often don't know who they are or what their purpose is. So with such a diversity and inflexibility in identity, we could lose the very essence of our souls and who we are. So being a Christian, what does that have to say on it? Well, I think it's key to understand what the Bible says about what we are in order to know that who we are. And looking at our passage from 2 Corinthians 5 this morning, we see these words. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. See, once we have that relationship with Jesus, we become a new creation. This understanding of a new creation is what will help us to determine both what we are and who we are. And that language of creation is evident, isn't it, throughout the whole entire Bible. In the beginning, we see that the moment God speaks in Genesis, things are created and the world comes into being. And we have in Genesis, there, God speaks. And throughout the other Bible, we have other language to do with creation. We look at Psalm 8, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you have set in place. So language in the Psalms to do with creation. Even when the people of Israel turn their back on God and are sent into exile, we see God responds to them through the prophet Isaiah, and he uses the language of creation there. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. See, God's going to redeem and save his people. He's going to bring them out of exile. Why? Because he's created them and they are his. We have the language again of creation in that passage from 2 Corinthians that was read to us this morning in Paul's writings. And then at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 21, we get the image, don't we, of the new heaven and the new earth. There's going to be restoration. Jesus will be with us. The earth will be restored and reflecting God's good creation right at the beginning. And what does Paul say? Well, Paul says, well, in Christ, we are a new creation. But what does that mean? What does that Paul have to say about the new creation in this passage? Well, I think there's three things that he talks about. Which all these points flow into one another. Firstly, being a new creation means we're created to reflect God. So from now on, says Paul, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Well, if we're not to view people with a worldly view, what does that mean? Well, I think we have to go back to the beginning to see the Christian understanding of who we are. In Genesis 1, verse 26, we see God say this, let us make mankind in our image. See, we were created as people to reflect our Heavenly Father. And if we're created to reflect our Heavenly Father, what does that look like? Well, to do that, I want to have a little look at the Trinity. You see, the Trinity is a difficult thing to understand, but we see the Trinity shows us how God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all unique, they're special, but they all exist together in relationship. This important understanding is really important to grasp a bit of who we are. See, we're all made, created to reflect God, all made in the image of God as unique individuals. Tim is unique compared to Anita, and Anita's unique compared to Paul. We have different skills, different characteristics. No two people are exactly the same, but we're not created to remain as individuals. We're created to exist in a relationship with each other. See, we realize who we really are when we spend our time in community with one another. Wasn't it interesting? What was Mark's comment in an interview with Giles earlier on? Sometimes being good or being alone on your own is not good for the soul. Those were the words that came ringing through that interview. Being on our own is not good for the soul. See, looking around at society, there sometimes could be a danger of isolation, can't there? Of a very individualistic culture. I put that picture there in the bottom corner, if you can just about make it out of an iPhone. You only got to look at some of those gadgets being sold, an iPad, an iPhone. What's the letter that starts each of those? An I. See, so if we're being made in the image of God, then we see that we're called to being in a relationship. A relationship which God models to us. And then being in relationship with others models something different to the world around us. When we see that relationship going on, it looks really different to what we see going on in the rest of the world. Wasn't it great that Tim pointed out right at the very beginning, that picture of the kingdom here, of young and old and people all mixed here together, all different, commending and mixing together, building relationships as we worship God here together in this place. So as a church community, we model something different to the world when we reflect him and we demonstrate authentic relationships, what it means living in community with one another. Secondly, we're created to have a new relationship. And that new relationship with our identities in Christ, our relationship is with God. Paul says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All of this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. As part of this new creation, we're given a new relationship with God. There's a change that comes about in each and every one of us. And see, Jesus' death, and it enabled us to have that personal relationship with God. A relationship which before was simply not possible. Why not? Because sin got in the way of us knowing God. And because Jesus died and took away that sin, we can get to know God better. Through Jesus, we get to know God better. We're forgiven and we become new creations. And if we want to know what God's like, well, what do? We look at what Jesus is like. In John 14, verse 9, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. What does Paul say? Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the way that we get to know God better. And through knowing God better, we know a little bit more of who we are. We know that we're loved by him. We know that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for each one of us. Wasn't it that last bit of sin? So God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Paul finishes verse 18 by saying these words. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, as part of that new creation, and giving ourselves to Jesus, we have a task to play. We have a task ourselves to play. And that leads us to the final thing. We're created with a new ministry. We're made with a purpose. The final part of 2 Corinthians 5 says this. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So as part of this new creation, and being in relationship with Jesus, we become Christ's ambassadors, his messengers for the world. And this is our new ministry. We have to appeal to others. if we're going to help and play our part in restoring this earth till we reach God's end story of that new heaven and new earth, we have to play our part in telling others about the need for relationship in Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, I think we start by knowing that we were created for relationship, as I said earlier on. That we're not meant to live out our Christian lives in isolation. We're to live out our faith. One of the dangers in some churches has been encouragement to come to church on Sundays and then to lose our identity in Christ on Monday. To put that all to one side as soon as we go into the workplace. I know from talking to people that's not evident here. Though I'm sure it's really difficult at times to reflect Jesus in our workplaces, in our homes, situations that we find ourselves in from Monday to Saturday. But we've heard this morning, haven't we, of Mark at work tomorrow, how his faith goes with him. How in the difficult times there's something that he can help, he can pray, he knows where his sustaining help can come from. But I think through modelling what God made us to do, living in relationship with others, reflecting him, showing his love to others, that we can be those ambassadors for Christ. So the new creation, it helps us to find our identity that we can live out in the world. An identity that we can find when we give our lives to him. So let's come back to those two questions. What are we? Well, we're created in God's image. We're people created in God's image to have a relationship with him through Jesus and to be in relationship with one another. We're created with a purpose to tell others. And who are we? Well, once we know who we are, what we are, we know who we are. We know that we're children of God, loved by him. Like last bit in that Genesis passage, we saw that God looked at creation and saw it was very good. God looks at each one of us and thinks exactly the same. So next time we see that image or advert from culture, one of those 5,000 that we might see each day, and that tries to tell us who or what we are, let's remember how unique we are, how much God loves us, how he created us, and how identity comes through knowing Christ. Amen.